Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for calling in today to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. My name is Jansen Brooks, and I'm coming from the West Coast, Sacramento, California area. This is, again, the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show, and we got a wonderful guest for you today, Ms. Earlene Gray from the Sacramento, California area, currently a financial educator. But she has some to talk about in her earlier career in life. So she's a good communicator too. So it should be very enjoyable. Before we get started, let me just back up a second. This is the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show, and the concept is elders in the community are reaching out to communicate with younger members of the community to give them advice, knowledge, experience, while at the same time listening to younger people, because believe me, they have a lot to say and a lot to teach themselves. So it's a two-way street. So having said that, let me introduce you to our guest today, Ms. Earlene Gray, who's a financial educator. She is a mom. She's a Christian lady. She says she's got 7 kids and 5 grandkids, which if you look at her, you would never guess. Fantastic lady. Ms. Gray, thanks for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Brooks. I am so excited to be here today, so thank you so much for having me.
Well, listen, before we get started, we're going to be talking about, some of your work that you've done, particularly in the financial services business. But before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I am from Bakersfield, California, and I do have 7 children, 5 grandchildren, like you stated. In regards of my occupation at that time, outside of just being a mom, I did hair. That's how I was able to make a living, by doing everyone's hair.
Yeah. So, 7 kids. I'm the youngest of 7 kids, Ms. Gray, and I had four brothers and 2 sisters, and my mom would call every brother when she wanted to talk to me. She would call all 4 of my brothers' names before she got to my name. So did you have that same thing going on with your kids?
I did. I was always calling somebody else's name. And I would look at, they're looking at me like, well, that's not my name. Like, you know what your name is. You know who I'm talking about. Just do what I told you to do. So, yes, that did happen a lot. It still happens. You know, I'm still constantly calling someone else's name, and I'm always getting corrected on that. Having a lot of children was very challenging, but fun. You know, the thing about kids, they keep you young and active, and it's an enjoyable thing to be able to see that you've created these little people, and they all are looking up to you for advice and guidance. And your overall goal is to make sure that you set the best example as possible and praying that you're doing the right thing for them. So, yeah, it was, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, they're all grown, except for two. I have currently an 11-year-old and a 15-year-old. Everyone else is grown. They're independent. They're self-sufficient. I'm so excited for that. You know, everyone is doing what they need to do for their families and their children. And I feel like I did a great job. Like, I'm so proud of that. So for that, I'm forever grateful. You know, no one's stressing me out. It's just, it's a beautiful thing to see as your children grow up, knowing that you did the right thing by them as what they do with their children. So I'm just happy about that.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's a blessing to have children, and especially for them to, you know, be respectful and self-sufficient. So I want to commend you on that. That's a fantastic job.
Let me just say that
if you are listening today, we're going to be on for about an hour today. And if you have a question or comment for Ms. Gray, press the number one on your phone, and we'll let you ask a question or make a comment. And then when you get done with that, I'd like you to mute your phone so that we don't have any background noises. But just out of curiosity, you grew up in Bakersfield, California. How was that?
The thing about Bakersfield, call it country, and because I live in Sacramento, I can understand why they would call it country. It's not a lot there to do, especially for teens. It's really, oh gosh, how can I put this? There's really not a lot there to do. So you tend to have a lot of gang violence, a lot of drug use. You have people that are doing prominent things in Bakersfield, so I'm not saying they're not. But when I grew up there, it wasn't a lot of great positive examples going around to help guide you, even with the school system. It was really just black and white. Like, there were no – it wasn't a lot of – because I was raised in the hood, basically. So there wasn't a lot of great examples in regards of the environment that I was around.
Okay, so it's kind of like a lot of towns all over the country, really. Now, you started out as a hairstylist.
I did. I started doing hair at the age of 13. So I learned from a family member, and I used to watch her do hair. And I kind of started braiding my doll's hair, and, you know, I realized, like, hey, I'm doing pretty good. And then I started doing my own hair, and I started getting compliments and started getting better and better. So about the time I got to the age of 15, I started getting paid. Yes. And with that, it just continued on and on. In Bakersfield, everyone does hair in Bakersfield, so I didn't make a lot of progress in Bakersfield in regards of generating income, but when I moved to Sacramento, that's when I started making money. There weren't a lot of hair braiders here in Sacramento, and we have so much clientele. It was just amazing, all the people who, you know, appreciated the skills that we offered out here. So I did really well here in Sacramento. And
oh, okay.
Through that, I started as my children got older, I realized that the babysitter was raising my kids, and it kind of made me depressed because I didn't have children for other people to raise them. So I decided, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and just be a hairstylist permanently. I quit my job, and I just did hair. And I learned how to market, so I started marketing myself through MySpace. Yes, that's how old I am, MySpace. I started marketing through MySpace. Yeah, that was so long ago. I started putting up posters everywhere. Still wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. So I kind of came up with a plan saying, how can I generate people to look at my work and be able, because I knew my skills were great. I knew I had amazing skills. I just needed to get it out to the people. So I started inboxing people. Hey, I do hair. Check out my work. I started taking pictures of my work. So that way they can go on my page, they can see what I do. And I also started doing free hair braiding for kids 12 and under. And that was a great concept. I started having people call in saying, hey, it was around school time. And I started having people call in and say, hey, my daughter needs her hair done. You do free hair braiding? It's really free? And I'm like, yeah, it's free. I just asked for donations. And it got so big. I didn't even expect for it to get that big, but it got so big that I was not even able to do free hair braiding anymore. I started having aunties and cousins and family members, and I started doing a whole family, and it just exploded from there to the point where I was unable to do free hair braiding anymore. You know, my goal was to take the skills that I have and help the children in foster care system, you know, and be able to do their hair for free. I wasn't able to do that due to the fact that my business was constantly growing. So that's probably one thing I really feel that I wish I could have accomplished is helping the children that really, really needed it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Looks like we have a caller in the 916 area code 2951. Caller, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Thank you. Just wanted to elaborate on how I was introduced to Ms. Erling Gray. I was actually at a gas station, and I just noticed how beautifully done her hair was, and I asked her who did it. She said it was her. And that was in 2009, and she has been doing my daughter and my hair ever since. And also, she and I have developed a wonderful, beautiful relationship to this very day, and I'm so excited to see how much she has grown. She is a powerhouse in the community. She has helped so many people overcome their financial issues and generating wealth within the families, and I'm very proud of her, and I just wanted to state that.
Oh, thank you. Caller, what's your name?
My name is Phyllis Foltz. I'm the founder of Bob's Bus, which is Build Our Black Businesses.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to have you on the show one day.
Well, I've actually retired since then, but thank you.
Okay. All right. If you would mute your phone so that we don't get any background noises, that would be great. You can keep listening, but just mute your phone.
Done. Wow. Thank you so much, Ms. Colts. I so appreciate that. She's one of my biggest supporters. We've done so many projects together, and we have done a lot, oh, gosh, on talk shows, on radio. Like, we have done a lot together. So I love her so much. Thank you so much for calling in, Ms. Foltz.
Again, yes, thank you for calling in, and thank you for your comments. You were saying that you were doing the free braiding. Kind of blew up. What happened from there?
Well, from there, like I stated, I wasn't able to do the free hair braiding anymore. So it went from me doing that to me traveling. So I noticed that I can make money traveling to people's homes. A lot of times people feel more comfortable in their own home. So they would pay me to come to where they are. And that just blossomed into me traveling everywhere. I'm in Tahoe. I'm in Reno. I'm in Merced. I'm in San Francisco. I'm in Modesto. So I'm everywhere. You know, I had one lady want to fly me to L.A. Like, I was traveling. And I really, really loved it. It was really exciting. I met a lot of people. I have some crazy stories I'm not even going to get into right now. But I've met a lot of amazing people coming into their homes, hearing their stories. I kind of felt like a counselor, a psychiatrist, and a shrink all in one, like it was here. You know, people enjoyed my company so much that when I enter their home, they're so excited to see me that they would just tell me everything they've been through. So the hours that I was there, they're telling me all the time. I'm sorry?
I would love to hear some of those stories, but I don't want to.
Oh, yeah, I have some stories. I have some stories, but it was very, very enjoyable, and it gave me an outlook into see how other people live and how other – so I was able to learn from these people. It became kind of like a counseling session, you know, and a lot of things that I needed to heal from, I was able to do so with all of these people that I talked with. So that was – I enjoyed that so much.
Oh, okay. So you worked for a little bit with the Sacramento Black Chamber of Commerce.
I did.
A little while,
you
were telling me.
Well, the beautiful lady, Ms. Phyllis Folk, like she stated, she is the president of Build Our Business. She actually started her position at the California Black Chamber of Commerce. And it was something that she's seen in me. To this day, I'm just amazed that she would even pull me into an environment like that. And I was able to basically help with their fundraiser to see who's going to, for example, if AT&T, are they going to attend or donate money to these events that they were having, right? It's one particular event. I can't remember the name of it. And she brought me into this environment where I met all these prominent, prestigious African-American people who were doing amazing things in the community, and that kind of broadened my horizon to what my possibilities could be. It was really eye-opening just to see the money that people were donating and, you know, how well-respected the chamber was. I didn't even know anything about the chamber. I didn't even know anything about a chamber at all. So to be pulled into an environment like that and to see how people work together, see these black people working together and wanting for the better good of their community, oh, it was so inspiring. And from there, Mrs. Folks ended up starting her own business. She's like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and start a business. She kind of seen some of the things that we needed in the community as far as up-and-coming businesses. And she told me the plans that she had, and she was like, you know, you could be my COO. I'm like, okay, let's go. It was so exciting. Oh, wow, it was so amazing. We were having all these meetings and meeting all these people, and it was just, we had our own little team. We had our board of directors. I mean, it was an amazing experience just to be able to help the people in our community, to be able to see the needs of business owners and execute that, you know. And I learned a lot from that experience as well as she did, you know. And we were also able to see what we're lacking in regards of us as a people, you know, and seeing how other cultures are able to come together and work together and what we as a people, what we're lacking in and what we need to get better at. It was a real eye-opener to be able to go through that experience.
Oh, I see. Let's see. See, we got a caller in the 512 area code. Last digit 94. State your name and where you're calling from and your question or comment, please.
My name is Mary, and I'm calling from Austin, Texas. So I am Mrs. Gray's best friend, but I have two questions. The first question is, being in the position you're in, it requires you to be able to step out of your comfort zone. What advice would you give someone about stepping out of their comfort zone? And then second question is, what do you consider life's success?
Those are great questions. So much, Mary, for that. Stepping out of your comfort zone. That is something that I am still doing. The biggest thing I would tell someone is just to do it. You know, get you a business coach. Get someone who can help guide you and direct you into the right direction. You know, all of us need guidance. You can't do everything by yourself. And it's good to network or connect with someone who is actually better than you are, that you can learn and grow from. Does that make sense? Does that kind of answer your question a little bit?
It definitely does. It does.
I didn't want to make it too long. Okay, the second one. Okay. Oh. In regards of me and being into this, the industry that I am in, oh, wow. Gosh, that was a – ask that question one more time. Because I have 50,000 things going through my head the second one.
What do you consider life's success? At what point will you know that you've succeeded, you've accomplished all that you wanted to accomplish? Like, what do you consider the number one priority for you to know that I have been successful in what I set out to do?
That's a great question. For me, I feel like just doing it, you know, the people that you touch, the lives that you touch, the way you're helping people. The way I see me, the success for myself, you know, a lot of people look at it as money, and it's not money. It's the people's
right.
lives that you touch. I touch so many people's lives. I have people calling me all the time asking me, hey, I need help with this. Hey, just to know that I can help people feels so good. Just to know
right.
that I can refer people. Hey, you know what? I have this guy who can help you with a grant. I have this lady, you know, who can help you with web design. I have this lady who can help you start your business from A to Z and help you get your business on the right track. I can help you. That is the most fulfilling thing ever, to know that I could help someone no matter what. And if I can't help them, I'll find out how I can help them, even if it's going to their event. Even if it's going to clap for them in support, even if it's saying something nice about them on Facebook, you know, those are the things that is successful to me and fulfilling. So I hope I am.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That was some good questions. I was like, oh, shoot, okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, caller. For your questions. Now, at some point, you decided that you were supposed to do something different. You didn't quite know what it was, but how did that turn out for you?
When I started on this journey, right before I met Mrs. Foltz, I knew I was supposed to do something great. I felt it. And it was such a deep-rooted feeling. It was like an antsy feeling. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I'm just up like, God is telling me I'm supposed to do something, but I don't know what it is. And it would keep me up at night because I couldn't figure out I knew he wanted me to do something. I just didn't know what it was. And it felt like I was constantly searching. Is it, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do this? And I'm just constantly trying to go in these different directions to find out where is God trying to send me. So when me and Miss Foltz linked up and I was able to get into the opportunity of the chamber, And then the puzzle pieces, they all started connecting together. And then I started meeting all these other people and these amazing people that I would have never met if I would have not put myself out there. And in a process of doing that, I met a lady at one of Mrs. Folt's events. We were putting on an event to help business owners for grants and loans to help build their businesses, and she had put on this program, and a lady showed up. And I met the lady. I ended up connecting with her. I ended up doing her daughter's hair. She seen I did hair, and I ended up doing her daughter's hair. And she one day she approached me. She said, hey, I want to show you something. You know, and I'm like, okay, I've always been open-minded to stuff, thank God. And I said, oh, okay. So we met up, and she said, I have a business opportunity to show you. And I thought, a business opportunity? No one's ever said that before. And she showed me her plans and everything that she was doing. And as she showed me this, I'm like, wow. Throughout that presentation that she showed me, I didn't even – as I'm sitting there, the only thing I remember her saying is where the rich and wealthy put their money. And I'm like, that's all I remember. So I told her, I'm like, you know what, sign me up. I don't even care. Like, okay, I'm doing it. What do I need to have, right? And this lady by the name of Miss Sharifa Walker literally took my hand and showed me a business concept from A to Z on how to become successful, and introduced me to all these millionaires, people who are prominent in their communities, all these different cultures, all these, I mean, I was able to go to mansions and stuff that I would have never, ever dreamed to be doing, ever. And I'm around these people. The first event we went to, it was at a guy's house by the name of Eric Olson. He has this organization called Pinnacle Elite. And we went to his house in San Jose, and it was on a hill. I'm like, wow, this is nice. So he had catered food. As we're waiting in line for our food, I hear people behind me talking. And this is a diverse group of people. And a lady behind me, she says, yeah, well, we're on pace to make $750,000. And the other lady was like, well, yeah, we're on pace to make $450,000. And I'm hearing all this money, these numbers. I'm like, people are really making this kind of money? And it was a wrap from there. I just knew this is where God wanted me to be. This was my whole purpose and my mission, from the chamber to putting fly. All every step that I took in life, it was for this moment. And I'm just forever grateful for Ms. I'm forever grateful for Phyllis Folt. You know, if she wouldn't have, I wouldn't have never met Sharifa Walker if it was not for Phyllis Folt. You know, I would have never met the people that I met if it was not for Sharifa Walker. So what I've learned is God sends you on these everything in life is a lesson. But you have to figure out the puzzle pieces that you need to put together in order to get to where you need to get to. And it's been an amazing journey. And now here I am with my own board of directors and team of people that I work with, where I can refer people to and help people. I'm on the same mission that I've always been on, is helping people. But now I have a little bit better clarity and understanding what I'm doing it for.
Right. Well, now,
you know, that was a lot.
Oh, no, that's great. That's great. Let me just say, if anyone has a question or comment, you can also press the number one on your phone, and you can ask your question or make your comment. Please mute your phone, though, after you make you ask your question or comment, so that there won't be any background noises. So if you have a question or comment, by all means, raise your hand. Let's see, looks like we have someone here. 0559, please state your name and your question or comment.
My name is Sharifa Walker, and I just wanted to make a comment. I am super proud of Ms. Earlene Gray, just being able, I've been listening this whole time, and, you know, she's been making a great impact in her community, and she has a lot of great qualities that she's I've just seen her grow and in all areas of ever since I've known her. And thank you, Phyllis, for introducing us. you know, Earlene is a blessing to a lot of people. So I'm just, you know, just excited for her growth. And I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Before you go, thank I think you, she was telling me about you. Did you go to Alabama A&M, by the way?
Actually, I went to Oakwood University in Huntsville.
Oh, okay, Oakwood, okay. Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I went to A&M myself, and I visited that beautiful campus at Oakwood, beautiful campus.
Yes, when did you go to A&M?
Probably before you were born.
Okay.
1975. I'm sorry, 1971.
Oh, yes.
I went.
Oh, yes. I don't even think I was a thought yet. Wonderful. But, yeah, that a beautiful city.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
thank you so much.
I was there not too long ago. Thanks for calling in today.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now, Ms. Gray, as far as your business is concerned, how do you help people to better themselves as far as your overall goal?
Well, in regards to what I do, our thing is giving people the power of choice, right? So what I mean by that is helping people increase their cash flow. Right now, in regards to our community, we have a cash flow problem, right? So our goal is to make sure that people are set up to where they can eliminate their debt. You know, they can also have an emergency fund from 6 to 12 months saved. And they're also thinking about retirement and making sure that they're able to save for that. Making sure that people are properly protecting their money, you know, as well as leaving a legacy and college planning. So those are some of the things. We do an array of different things, you know, and we also work with over 70 different companies. My overall goal is to ensure that they have those 7 things in place and structured, making sure that their business is structured properly in regards of, you know, making sure that we have generational wealth for generations to generations. And helping people have a world-class financial education. And that's where I am. I feel like I'm in a financial university. Like, we learn everything from A to Z. You know, right now we're having a training, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity. But, you know, I kind of put the training on hold to make sure that I'm here this morning on your show, you know. But things that we do in regards to making sure that we are set up in that way.
Well, I'm so happy that you were able to come on the show. Really enjoyed talking with you. I know you mentioned networking for your business. Tell me a little bit about your networking efforts.
I do a lot of networking through Facebook. Facebook is like my go-to thing. I am in over 100-plus groups. And I make sure that they all are business, networking, podcasts, anyone who has a podcast, anyone who has a marketing group, anything dealing with marketing. And the reason for that is you never know who knows who. So what I do is I talk with people. I inbox them. I find out, you know, who do you know? You know, help me help you help me. How can we work together? How can we help each other? And a lot of that, I've been really successful in doing that. You know, I think it's very important. Social media is a really big tool right now that a lot of people are on, whether it's Instagram, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Twitter, whatever you want, whatever social media network that you work with, it's good to utilize it with a purpose. You know, so when I go on social media, it's mainly to see who I can work with, who I can work with, who can work with me, what do we have in common. How can we help each other? And things like that I really enjoy. You know, I went from putting flyers on mailboxes and empty buildings generating clients to I have all this access in front of me, and all I need to do is sit in front of my computer and talk with people. And that's not all I do. I also do a lot of marketing events. We have an event coming up October the 20th at 6 p.m., and that's catered and geared to business owners. So, you know, my goal has always been business owners, and I'm still on that same mission, you know, to see exactly how I can help individuals. So, yeah, marketing is really, really big. A lot of people don't exactly know how to use it. You know, for example, like I said, I'm in all these groups. All the groups that I am in, I try to make sure that I'm able to post in these groups. If that makes sense, like I have to be able to post in your group. If I can't post in your group, then there's no need for me to really utilize it, because that's how I advertise. Exactly. And
right.
You are pretty much in the same field, you know, and we've had many conversations regarding this. Just like, we were talking about the group that you told me to download. What was it called?
Clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about Clubhouse. So you know, you kind of taught me. I heard of it, but I've never used it. So you kind of taught me some things in regards to that. So that's something that I need to download and chime in and see exactly how can I, you know, use that to my best advantage.
Right, right. Well, it's kind of similar to Blog Talk Radio, except that it's an app, you know, and people have to get the app, and then they choose who they want to listen to, because there's hundreds of thousands of people that are on there and have their, they call them rooms, if you will. But yeah, let's check it out. You know, it's something new is coming up on social media every day. And that's something that I myself have wanted to kind of master, to have people to be able to Google me and convert them into business. So that's something that I'm working on right now, trying to master the digital marketing space, particularly with Google and Facebook. So it's a journey. It's a journey. How do you stay motivated?
People. I love people. You give me anyone who knows me knows I'm going to talk to everybody. You get me in a room with 100 people, I'm going to try my best to talk to all 100 of those people. I really love, I love people's stories. And speaking of stories, you know, I started my own entertainment company. I'm really, really excited about that. And I also, it's called Tell Me Your Story with Earlene Gray. It's my LLC. The LLC is Not So Ordinary. And the reason why I call it Not So Ordinary is because I feel like I'm not ordinary. You know, I feel like I try my best to do things outside the box. I don't want to be like anyone else. I want to be me. So that's why I call it Not So Ordinary. Another thing in regards to Tell Me Your Story with Earlene Gray, I meet so many people. And when I do meet people, they always tell me their story. I can be in a grocery store. I could anywhere. People are always talking to me. And that's something that I love hearing their story. I love to hear who people are. I like to know. And then I start asking questions, and then they tell me more. And before you know it, I'm sitting there for an hour, hour and a half, you know, in a grocery store talking to people. So that's something that I really enjoy doing. So it started, actually I started off doing photography. I started off doing pictures. I was actually in a motorcycle club, and I was looking to connect with people, because it was always me and my kids. That's it. Me, my fiance, and my kids. I didn't have anyone else. So he made a suggestion. He said, you need some friends. I'm like, I need some friends. He's like, yeah. So I had a good friend of mine who was in a motorcycle club. She asked me to join. And when I got into there, I seen all these people. I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's so many people. Wow. It was so exciting to me. But then guys started trying to hit on me, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't like this. You know, I like the scene. I love being around all these people, but I don't want men hitting on me. So I started video recording everything. So when guys would approach me, they'll see me with the camera, and then they wouldn't want to talk to me. So I like that. I'm like, oh, okay, no one wants to talk to the woman who's video recording everything. And that's how it started. And then I started talking with presidents. I started recording them, talking about how they became presidents. And it went from there. And I started being known as, you know, the camera lady. And I didn't know that that was going to actually turn into something. So moving forward today, that's what I do. I interview people. So if you go on my Facebook page, I have interviews of people that I've talked with, and they tell me their story. But it's structured differently because they tell me their story and how they started their business. There's a lot of people out there who would like to start businesses, but they just don't know. They don't have the courage to just step out and do it. So through my platform, you know, I'm hoping that I'm giving them the courage to just do it and not be scared and just go out on a whim. And I have the people that can help them get there. So that also helps too.
What advice would you give to a younger person who maybe go into business or better their sales and their careers? When you're talking to younger people, what kind of advice do you give them?
First thing I need to know, what are they looking to do? What is it that they want? If they don't have any direction or they don't know, so then I'll introduce them to our platform. You know, we are basically revolutionized the financial industry. Everyone needs financial advice. Everyone. No matter a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, everyone needs financial education. I think out of anything, that should be number one, and those are things that they're not taught in school. So when I show them our platform and what we do and how we help families, then we go from there, you know. Now, if they already have a business model that they already have and they're like, you know, I have something, then I'll still help them financially, but then I'll see, okay, well, do you have a logo? You know, do you have your EIN number? What do you have? And just go from there. So that's pretty much how I help them. You know, where do you want to start? What's your budget? A lot of people don't even have a budget or the means, the income to be able to start anything. So if they don't have that, then my first thing is you need to have a job because you're going to have to fund your business. You can't fund it with nothing. You have to have something to be able to fund your business. So just go from there. I think a lot of young people today, they're social media driven. A lot of people want to start their own business. They want to be entrepreneurs. They don't want to work for anyone, and I think that is great. I've met some influencers that have their own platform, and they were able to buy a home with making YouTube videos. And I love the generation today. I think it's very smart that they don't want to spend 20, 30, 40 years at one job and they want to work for themselves. So I run into a lot of that as well. But just showing them our platform and how we can help them.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So, yes, your show, can you anything that pops off the top of your head about maybe some of your guests that really influenced you or educated you or inspired you?
Yes, a lady by the name of Diane Washington, I always say Nash. Diane Washington, she went out on a limb and started her own real estate business, and she didn't realize she could do that. She was 60 years old, and she's like, I'm in my 60s. I don't think that, you know, she didn't have the faith that anyone would buy from her. And I thought that was so amazing because it just shows you at any age, anything is possible. You shouldn't put a limit on just because you're a certain age that you can't do anything. So just kind of hearing her story was really inspiring to know that she just did it. And now she has her real estate company and her business, and she's helping people purchase homes and, you know, just learning how to market and all that stuff, but she's doing it. And it's really exciting to see, you know, as well as yourself, you know, you're learning to get into this social media and mode and trying to learn how to do all this stuff, and you're showing yourself that age doesn't matter. You know, you started your own talk show, radio, you know what I'm saying, your own radio talk show, and you just did it. Things like that are inspiring, you know, just hearing people that just do it and don't put any limits on themselves and just go out and do it. Those are things that are really inspiring.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're right about that. I notice a lot of older folks, they just kind of clam up and, well, I did my job already, and that's it. I'm just going to play golf every day or go fishing. That would be boring to me.
Yeah, you know, everybody likes different things. Some people are okay with doing a bare minimum and, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, and they're okay with – everyone's not built to have their own business or start something new. Everyone doesn't have that mindset to do that. But the ones that do, those are the ones who are changing future. You never know who's watching you. You know, you never know who you inspire or who is inspired by you. And for that, I'm just, you know, it's just amazing. It really is. I feel like I've lived like 5 or 6 different lives. I'm like, gosh, how did I get here? Every time I do stuff – and it's outside, thinking outside the box, and I do it, I always be like, how did I get here? How did I do that? It's always a question. Instead of me thinking, you know, you did that, you know, and you can do that, I always be like, how did I get here? Kind of like an out-of-body experience. But just like connecting with millionaires and being around all these amazing examples of people who say, if I can do it, you can do it. And then you hear their stories, and you're like, wow, that was your story, and this is where you're at, just knowing anything is possible. Anything you put your mind to, is you can do it. You just have to believe and change your mindset. Everything is in your mind. That's the crazy part. There's one thing I always tell my kids, you know, my thing is the hardest thing about life is choices. That's the hardest thing about life, because any choice that you make can dictate where you're going. It can either push you steps back or push you steps forward. But at the end of the day, it's your choice. You can choose to get out of bed in the morning. You can choose to stay in the bed. Everything is a choice. That's, to me, that's the hardest part about life, is the choices that you make. And you won't know until
right.
you make it. You won't know if it's the right choice until you make it. That's probably the most scary part about life. That's probably the most
right.
scariest.
As far as this is something to kind of turn the page a little bit. We got about another 10 minutes or so, but about raising kids. What advice would you give a person about raising kids?
Ooh, that's a deep question. Because when you have 7 children, everyone has different personalities. So you may treat one this way, and the other one you can't do that way. You know, you have to treat that one another way. So my biggest advice is love. Love is probably the biggest one. Just love them and try to be the best example that you can be. And that's pretty much it for, you know, as far as me, just love them and listen and be there. you know, no matter what me and my kids went through in life, I was always there, no matter what. Whether I did it right, whether I did it wrong, I was there. They can't tell no story without me being in it. Because I was always there. I was always there. You know, whether you got a whooping, whatever the case may be, I was there giving you that whooping. It was me. I'm just being honest, you know, like being there, just being there, being able to say mom, that's a big one, you know. I didn't grow up with a mother. You know, my mother had 13 children, and the crack really destroyed our whole entire family. It destroyed everything. I had 8 aunties, 1 uncle, and it destroyed everyone, the whole family. So because of that, we didn't have the privilege to be raised together. So it was kind of like meeting strangers as we got older, and you don't have that same feeling that you do if you were raised in the same household. Like with my kids, they were all raised in the same household. They know each other. You know, whenever they talk about when they were younger, they have stories with each other in it. As with me and my siblings, we don't have any stories of us growing together. So we have to build some kind of bond later in life. And that can be difficult. So just being there and being the best example and loving them, you know, whether good or bad, you know, at least I'm here, you know, and I'm present. So that, you know, you come from a big family too. So you know what that feels like. You're raised with your siblings, so you know.
Right, right. Yes, yeah, it's a great bond. I can say that for sure. Well, we got another few minutes. Anything on your mind today that you would like to get out there, maybe to someone that's listening? Something that's on your mind?
I do. My biggest thing, if you want to do something, just have faith in whatever you do. And do it the best of your ability. And don't be scared. You know, those are things I still tell myself. Just don't be scared. You can do it. Even doing this radio talk, I'm normally in the background. And for me to be, and I talk to a lot of people, but when it comes to radio and talk shows and all that stuff, I still get nervous. But I'm like, I'm going to do it. Okay, let's go. You know, and just
you
believe in yourself.
You don't sound nervous to me.
I am. I got bubble guts and everything. I am. But just do it. Just do it. And like I stated, I'm also talking to myself. There's still a lot I need to learn, a lot I need to do. I'm still working on me every day, still working towards being a better me, changing my mindset, all that stuff. I still go through all of that, but I have some amazing people in my corner who keep me on the right path. Who say, okay, Arlene, you can do it. Okay, I'm here. Okay, if you need me. I have so much support. It's crazy. I have a lot of support, and a lot of people need that. And don't be scared to ask for help. You never know who might be your saving grace that will come in and step in and help you. But you have to open your mouth and say something. You know, you have a lot of people that are standoffish and don't want to ask for help or don't want people to help them. And you're never going to get anywhere if you do that. You have to just ask for help. Talk to people. So that's pretty much my closing, you know, thoughts is believe in you.
All right. Believe in you. Well, you know, it's been great having you on the show today. I know that the few things that we talked about today, it's just the tip of the iceberg, you know, of what we could talk about. So maybe another day, when you're not busy, you can come back and we can go to some other subjects that might be of interest to people. But certainly, I want to thank you for coming on the show today, and for the people that that's listening. Thank you for listening, and for the people that had a question or comment, thank you for that. You can find this show every Saturday, God willing, by calling at 10 o'clock Pacific time. Call 516-387-1611, and you can listen to the show. And you can also listen to rebroadcast of this on blogtalkradio.com. Go to blogtalkradio.com. In the browser, you put in the Council of Elders call-in talk show, and then you scroll down to see our green and white logo for the particular date that you want to listen to. Ms. Gray, thanks for coming on the show today. You've been a very exciting guest. I love to hear you talk and listen to what you have to say. So we're going to wrap it up with that. And again, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Brooks, and you enjoy your day. And thank you, everyone, for chiming in and listening, and the ones who, you know, gave feedback. Thank you so much for that. I so appreciate that.
All right, all right. Well, people, the number that you called today, you can call that same number at 10 o'clock next Saturday, God willing. We'll see you then. All right, that's a wrap, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.